Would you turn with me tonight to 2 Kings chapter 5, a very well-known passage. And while you're turning it, let me say a few comments. I count it a real privilege to be standing in front of you tonight to preach the gospel. My prayer is that you will see Christ and that you will receive Christ as your Savior. I thank the elders and the church for the privilege of preaching the gospel tonight. Second thing, you might wonder why I'm using such a passage as this, a passage that's been well known. You'll say to yourself, I know that passage inside out. Well, when I was first asked about taking this passage was on my mind. The last couple of weeks when I was reading it and trying to get my thoughts together, I found it difficult. And I thought of changing to another message. But the more I tried, the more my mind came back to this message. And so I feel that there may be someone in this meeting tonight, and that this message is just for you. You see, the passage itself is about a man. One specific man whom God sent a little maid to rescue. And so that might be you tonight. You might be the one that God wants to speak to. And I pray that you may not hear my voice, but that you will hear the voice of God speak loudly to your soul. We're going to break into the chapter and verse 10. Naaman has come to Jehoram, the king of Israel, and he sent Elisha, calls him from there to his house, and says, Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. I want to break this chapter up into 4 simple sections this evening. I want to first of all look at the man and his malady. Then I want to think for a few moments of the maid and her message. Then I want to look at the mistakes that were made. Then I want to think of the moment of the miracle. The man and his malady. What a description is given of Naaman. It says there first, he was captain of the host of the king of Syria. What a position this man had. He was a general of chief. We maybe call him the chief of staff or the chief of the armed forces or whatever. But he was right at the top. What a position he had. And then it says he was a great man with his master. He wasn't a man who had been born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He had worked his way faithfully to the top. And the king of Syria realized it and put him in charge of the armies. what character he had. Says he was honorable. Here was a man that could be trusted. Here was a man that could be looked up to. Here was a man that people respected. What a man. And then he says he was also a mighty man in valor. Here was a man, and he didn't send his troops out without going out with them. He headed them. He was a mighty man in valor, and he proved himself. What a man. We would all love to be in this position, with such a position. People thinking about us. People thinking of us. Thinking of us highly. Wouldn't it be great? Oh, but listen. Listen to those five words of that first verse. But he was a leper. All the greatness that he had, all the honor that he had, all the might that he had, and the prestige meant nothing. For he was a leper. I wonder what your position in society is today. Maybe you have reached the top of your profession. And you've got there by hard labor. You haven't taken any shortcuts. You've been honest. You're a person who people can look up to. Can be respected. Mighty in every way. Oh, but friends, five words could be said about you. You are, I can't count now four words, you are a sinner. What does anything else count for? What good does anything else do? The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What a man we have. But what a pitiful situation. He was a leper. But what about this malady? There are a few things that we see of the leprosy, which I believe illustrate the way sin progresses. The first thing we could say about leprosy, it has a very insignificant start. Just one wee spot. And my Naaman could have come and covered it up, and no one would have seen it. But then that leprosy, that spot would have got bigger and started to eat the flesh away, started to kill the nerves until he would not have been able to hold the sword. It would have destroyed him. Is that not the way sin has come into the world? What a very insignificant act many people would think it was. Adam, taking off that fruit, and bringing sin into the world. A very insignificant act. But look the way sin has spread. We don't need to leave our shores to see how sin has spread. We are living in a nation that has taken this Bible and it has torn it to shreds. The commandments of God are being thrown out. They are being changed by the will of Parliament. What a situation. Something which started very insignificantly has progressed and has stretched so far that men in general are rebelling against God. Yes, it was insignificant in start. But the second thing I'm told about leprosy is that it can be inherited. it could be passed down from generation to generation. The Bible says, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. David had to declare, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. My friend, if you're born under Adam's race, if you're born into this human race, my Bible says you're a sinner. We cannot escape it. You may say, well, I'm not such a sinner. I haven't been involved in many of the things that you're talking about. I keep myself pure. I keep myself right. I try to live by the commandments. Can I be a sinner? Well, you know, the end result of leprosy, you see, in those days, leprosy was incurable. And the end result of leprosy was death. My friend, if you can tell me that you will never die, then I will believe you that you're not a sinner. Oh, I'm not saying that you've created great, terrible sins. You have kept yourself pure. You have probably been brought up in a Christian home, a God-fearing home with strict parents. But the fact is, you will die. And that's the proof that you are a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ah, friends, it doesn't matter about your status in life. It doesn't matter if you're the top brass. It doesn't matter, and I say it with respect. It does not matter if you're the Queen of England. And I can honestly say I'm a loyalist with respect for the Queen. But it doesn't matter whether you're the Queen of England or the lowest pauper in the realm. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What a situation this man found himself in. A leper. But then we want to go on. And what a wonderful story comes about. I want to think of the maid and her message. It says in verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Here's a wee girl, and she's enjoying life in Israel. Israel have enjoyed a bit of peace and quiet for a while. But then the Syrian army, some of the Syrian army, under the leadership of this very man, Naaman, raid Syria and take this little maid. What a sad situation this wee maid finds herself in. She's taken from family. She's taken from the home she knows. She's taken from the land that she loved, enjoyed, was playing about in. And she's taken into Naaman's house. What a situation she finds herself in. And yet, friends, God was in this. Now, I'm not going to get into the ins and outs of the providence of God. But you will find that the Bible here in verse says that through Naaman, God had given deliverance unto Syria through Naaman. God purposed to have this raid. God purposed for this little maid to be in Naaman's household. For one purpose. To reach Naaman. I wonder, has the providence of God dealt with you? Are you here tonight? And the circumstances have changed, or something has happened, but God has brought you here tonight for one purpose, that you might hear the message. And what a wonderfully faithful little maid this was. Here's a little maid, taken from home, taken into a strange land, and made a slave. She hears of Naaman having leprosy. Well, I'm afraid if I had been in that situation, I would have said, well, he deserves it. He deserves it. Let it be worse. Let him die. But no. Here's a wee girl, and she's faithful to God. She's faithful to the Lord, and she gives a message of hope to Naaman. Maybe you're here tonight and somebody of insignificance has spoken to you. Well, there's one speaking to you now, for I'm nothing. Maybe something in your life has happened and you've heard the message. God has put that person there just to speak to you. Would you listen to the voice of God? Would you hear the simple message? But what a simple message she gives. She doesn't go into the great... She was too young to know the ins and outs of anything. She was just a little maid. But she knew that there was hope for Naaman in Israel through the prophet. And she just says to her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. What a simple message. No great arguments. She says there's hope for you. There's hope for you in Israel. There's hope for you. There's a prophet in Israel whom God is using, and he could restore your leprosy. Friends, we are here tonight, and we have a simple message for you. We can sum it up in two words. Jesus saves. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's nothing more simple than that, friends. The Son of God, the eternal Son of God, left heaven's glory, became a man, and lived as man for 33 years, and went to the cross, and died an agonizing death for you. And because he did that, you can be saved. But you say, well, how do I know it? I'll tell you how I know it. He rose the third day from the grave. He has power over sin and death and the grave, because he proved it by stepping out of the grave. And today, he's sitting on the throne of God, wanting to be your Savior. It's as simple as that. When Paul was in prison, the Philippian jailer came to him and said, what must I do to be saved? The simple message was, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the simple message that we bring to you tonight. Jesus saves. But as we go down this story, we find that mistakes were made. The first mistake that was made was he was sent to the king of Syria, a king of Israel, who was Jehoram at that time. Now, that was like jumping out of the frying pan into the fire. Naaman was coming from a nation who worshipped other gods. And one would think that going to the king of Israel, he was going to the right place. But Jehoram had left God. Jehoram had departed from the law of God. And he had turned his nation to worshipping other gods. That was like a drowning man going to another drowning man to try to get life when now their two of them could swim. I wonder where you're going to find salvation. Maybe you've gone to somebody. I'm not going to ridicule any denomination. But maybe you've gone to someone with this big question of salvation. How to be saved. And they've gone and told you, just go ahead and live a good life. Do what you like. My friend, I can tell you now, in the authority of this word, you've gone to the wrong man. And you see, this young maid seemed to know more about things than Jehoram, the king, knew. Did you notice the message that this young maid told him? The young maid said, go to the prophet in Israel. But Naaman went to the king. And how sad it was that the king could not even send Naaman to Elisha. If you were to go back two or three chapters, you would find that Elisha actually helped the king in one of the battles that he had fought. He prayed to the Lord for him. He interceded for him and they won the battle. And yet when it comes here, he cannot find it in himself to send Naaman to Elisha. I don't know whether this was in bad taste or whether he had forgotten about Elisha. I don't think he forgot about him. I think his anger towards the Syrians was such that he said to himself, I'm not going to help him. He can go back and keep his leprosy. You know, there are people in the world today and they will do anything in their power to keep you from coming to Christ. They will deliberately set their face against you to stop you from being saved. But my friend, I want you to notice that here was a seeking soul. Naaman was looking for cleansing. And I can tell you again on the authority of this word that if you're seeking for God, you will find him. Seek and ye shall find, the word of God says. No one who is seeking God will ever be disappointed. The word of God says, seek and ye shall find. If you're seeking the Lord, look what happened. We don't know how Elisha found out. I believe it was the Lord told him. But Elisha, when he heard of Naaman's plight, he sent and said, send him on to me. Bring him here. And he will know that there is a God in Israel. And so we find Naaman coming to Elisha. And we will find out the true character of Naaman here. Because as we read, Naaman goes off in a huff after what he's told. One would wonder why Elisha did not come out to the door. Elisha sent his servant. So go and speak to him. Well, I want to suggest two reasons. One reason was this. Naaman couldn't touch the leper. Or Elisha could not touch the leper. Or he himself would have been contaminated. But he had a message that could heal the leper. And so he sent that message out. But there's three things I want you to notice about Naaman. Three things that describe his character, his true, deep down character. One was pride. Well, he says, I thought that this man would come out and put his hand on me and touch me and restore me. After all, I'm Naaman, captain of the host, and surely some great ritual should be done to me to restore me. Wonder, are you depending on some great ritual tonight? It's not in a ritual. It's in the righteous Son of God dying on the cross for you. That's where your salvation lies. But not only do we see pride in this man, we see prejudice. He says, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? He's told to go and dip in the Jordan. A dirty old river. A river that's described as a river of death. A river that the babies were thrown into. An old, filthy, dirty river. You know, if we were to spiritualize that for a moment, is that not the place that a sinner should go? He should realize that he's under death. He's dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. Acknowledge it. Was Elisha sending Naaman to the river of death so that Naaman would acknowledge that he was dead in reality? I don't know. But if we were to look at it spiritually, it would suggest that. But he says, he didn't want to have this river. That's only a stinking owl river. The rivers that I have are far better than that. I wonder, is there some prejudice too with you? I'm not here, I'm not going to praise the Baptist church, but maybe you're in some other church. And you're saying to yourself, well, they have a better service than this. Oh, the things that go on in that church are far better than here. I'd rather go there. My friends, it's not in the place. It's not nothing to do with the place that you go to. As we shall see in a minute. It's believing and obeying the gospel. I have an uncle. He's in the glory now. I was invited up to the chapel in the Falls Road by some of his workmates. And going into that chapel, he seen the crucifix. And God spoke to him through the crucifix. And he said to himself, if a man can do that for me, why am I still unsaved? See, it was nothing to do with the place. The Spirit of God was speaking. The Spirit of God led him. The Spirit of God could be speaking to you. Don't be thinking much of the place. Don't be thinking much of this place. I'm not here to preach about this place or this assembly. The answer is in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Yes, he had prayed, and I think that that's probably why Elisha kept him out to the door. He was full of pride. He wanted Elisha to come out in some ceremony. And Elisha said, well, he has to come down. He has to get rid of his pride. Is pride stopping you? Is pride stopping you from coming to Christ? Ah, friend, don't let your pride give it up. Is prejudice stopping you from coming to Christ? Don't lose salvation because of that. Yes, he was pride. There was prejudice, but there was presumption. He said, I thought he would come out and do this and do that and do something else. It's all in this ritual I want, and that's the way I'm going to be healed. And he had to be shown that that wasn't the way. Wonder if you're presuming that something that you have done in the past, or some ritual that you've gone in the future, maybe you're baptized as a child. The Bible says there's only one way of salvation, and that's coming to Jesus Christ as an individual and accepting Him as Savior. I don't let your pride stop you. Don't let your prejudice stop you. Don't let presumption guide you along the wrong way. There's only hope in Christ. But then we see the moment of the miracle. And here again, we see the hand, the Lord's hand at work. He even uses Naaman's servants to speak to Naaman. Naaman's going away in a huff, and his servants come to him, and they must have become with their hearts in their hands, coming to a general, coming to him to argue with him, to tell him what to do. He says, if Elisha had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? And so Elisha, maybe grudgingly, maybe with not too much faith, decides to go to Jordan. We see him going in. We see him dipping. And he comes up, and the leprosy is still there. He does it a second time. The leprosy is still there. And a third, and a fourth, and a fifth, and a sixth, and the leprosy is still there. You see, my friend, he was not cleansed by the waters of the Jordan. He could have dipped himself as many times as he liked. It wasn't the waters of the Jordan that cleansed him. My friends, don't you be mistaken tonight. You can be baptized as many times as you like and still be a sinner. The reason why Naaman was healed is he obeyed the word of God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. Repent of your sin, the Bible says. And it's being obedient to that word. If he had never obeyed the word of Elisha, it wouldn't have mattered how many times and on how many rivers he went to. But the seventh time he dipped, he was cleansed. Why? Because he obeyed the word of God. He said seven times. And seven times it was. And at that seventh time, he was healed. Friends, are you prepared to obey the word of God? The second reason why he was healed, not only did he obey the word of God, he had faith in the word of God. You see, the first mistake he made was in rejecting the word of God. Oh, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm too mighty and big and powerful to do that. And it's interesting. It says of Naaman that he went down into the waters. He's been taken down a peg or two, hasn't he? The pride's gone. The prejudice is gone. The presumption is gone. He believes the word of God. And he obeys the word of God. And through faith in the word of God, he's healed. You know what a difference is made in his life? It says there that he offers Naaman a lot of money, a lot of silver, a lot of good things. And Elisha refuses him. Then he says, give me two burdens of earth. For when I'll go home, I want to make an altar to worship the God of Israel. He has come to know the true God. He has come to know that there is a God in Israel. And that God in Israel has created circumstances whereby he heard the word, whereby he met the one who had a message for him, whereby he was cleansed. Have you heard the word today? I hope you have. Would you come down off your pride? The Bible says, unless you become as little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I remember as a little child, simply praying the prayer, into my heart, come into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. What a simple prayer. What a simple message we have for you. Christ died for you. Jesus saves. And what a simple way there is of being saved. Simply obeying by faith. Receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Naaman believed Elisha eventually. Naaman obeyed the word of God. Naaman had faith in the power of God. God has proven his power of salvation when he raised his son from the dead and seated him at the right hand of God the Father tonight. And I don't care who you are in this meeting tonight. I don't care how many times you've resisted. Naaman resisted at first. If you look through the history of Israel, time and time and time again, they resisted God. They went back to their sin. But time and time and time again, God healed their nation. Would you accept? I don't care who you are. Jew, Gentile, Roman Catholic, Protestant, Muslim, no matter who you are, God wants to save you. He sent his son, died on the cross, rose again. There is a balm in Gilead. There is hope for your soul. But like Naaman, you must obey. You must come down. You must go down. Down on your knees. Bow your head. Bow your heart. Humble yourself in the presence of God. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. For he is the only way. There's no other way but this. May God give you grace to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and be cleansed this very night. May God bless you.